Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 189 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, shall we just address the elephant in the room that is known as episode 188?
Yes, the biggest heel in the business.
I love that saying, let's address the elephant in a room. Like, if there was an elephant in the room, like, we would not be, talking about it already.
Yeah, I wouldn't be hanging out wanting to discuss it. I'd want to be running the other direction.
Episode 188 will be the bane of my existence. As long as this show goes on, episode 188 will be the bane of my existence. That was the perfect example of trying to do too much in too short of a time.
And it's funny because you talked about that during the episode. You're like, I've got this going on. I've become a manager. It's been busy at work. Like, that's kind of been the running theme for the last few weeks.
Right.
And then episode 188 happens. So in terms of like the best episode or the best of anything, I always refer to it as like your master of puppets.
Right.
Which I think maybe our episode with Breaker a few weeks ago when we were discussing Harley Race is probably like our master of puppets. Episode 188 is like the opposite of your master of puppets. So we went like from one of our best episodes ever to the abomination that is or was episode 188. So we were talking before we came on to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit. And it was like, well, I hope that was nobody's first introduction to our show. Like, if the initial two launches of episode 188 was their first introduction to the Fully Posable podcast, I guarantee they won't be returning. They're like, dude, these guys are letting things slip. They're talking over each other. These are like the worst podcasters ever. But fortunately, Jeff, on take three, you nailed it, dude.
Took three tries in 3 days, but yes. So last weekend, we had some people over for a fantasy football draft. I had to get the house ready on Friday for that. Saturday, we were cooking food, just getting everything prepared for the fantasy football draft.
I've had a sore throat for a month and a half. And the acoustics in this room are horrible.
So after we got done doing the fantasy football draft, I started editing the show. Well, while I was sitting here, Celeste comes up to me and she goes, hey, we don't have any more CBD oil for Gunner. And Gunner's my dog. And we give him CBD oil to help him sleep through the night.
He's a total stoner.
He is a total stoner. There is a little THC in it. In California, it's legal, so don't judge. But it helps him sleep, and it also helps out his joints and in the back of his legs. And, you know, he's pushing 13. That's what happens to older dogs, bigger dogs too. I mean, it just happens that way. So anyways, I had to drive to go pick up the stuff. Well, I had set down the show, and while I was gone, Celeste picked it up and started helping me edit, so I wasn't running too far behind. Well, after I had set down the show and she started editing, there was a portion that was missed. And in that portion, I was waiting for a text message from somebody to clarify something. Well, that text message never came, and Scott and I just moved on with the show. So I get back, I finish editing, and this is where I went wrong. And I always listen to the show before we upload the show. Well, it's about 11 o'clock at night. I have another fantasy football draft Sunday where I knew I was going to be all day. So it was either A, get the show out Saturday night, or B, upload the show at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And I decided to upload the show on Saturday night. Well, I always do quality control because I always listen to the show back and see if there's anything that needs to be touched up. Hence why some of the things happened the way they did, where I was talking over Scott. Things got missed, you know, such as that. So I get done with the fantasy football draft on Sunday. Scott calls and he goes, dude, you left this one part in. I was like, oh, man. So get home, re-edit the show, upload it again. Next morning, somebody says, "Hey, Jeff, you are a dick to Scott." I was like, "What?" And they go, "You're talking over him at, like, almost the whole show." And I said, "What?" So I had to go back, re-listen to it again on my iPod. I hear it. And I had to leave the gym early Monday morning to come home, re-edit it again to upload it one more time on the third try. So luckily I nailed it on the third try. Episode 188 will go down as the biggest blunder in Fully Posable history. It is what it is. Scott, I heard Dave gave us -5 stars. I was really sad about that.
Yeah. Hey, we're lucky we didn't do that in Japan. We would have gotten -6 stars.
Right. The other funny thing that happened is, and I'll pull back the curtain on this, is when I was recording with Steve Hoker during his part of the show, there was a big block on my computer that got cut off. I don't know what happened. It was about 3 minutes. And Steve was okay on the one computer, but I was completely missing on the other. And all of a sudden, it kicked back on. So I apologize to Steve. Steve, we'll have you back on. We'll just shoot the stuff with you. I owe you a redo. But anyways, episode 188, it was trash. It was complete trash, and I hate that episode.
It's the WrestleMania 15 in our catalog of 189 shows.
Is WrestleMania 15 the worst WrestleMania ever?
It's my least favorite.
Over 9?
Oh, I don't mind 9. I know you're not a fan of it because Yokozuna and Bret Hart. I don't mind 9 at all. But yeah, 15 is my very, very least favorite.
13, Stone Cold and Bret saved that show.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I mean, 15 had some okay matches, but overall, it was just, for me, it wasn't a great show. And of course, that's up to debate between the best ever versus the worst ever. But in my book, episode 188 equals WrestleMania 15. It is the opposite of our Master of Puppets, whatever that might be. Pick a worst album, a worst WrestleMania, what have you. But we're moving past it. Now, Jeff, we are on episode 189, and it's going to be a strong show. We're bringing a segment back to the show that's not listener, it's not news. We've got the main event coming up later.
Yep, we sure do. I think WrestleMania 13 was the one where Colt Cabana punched Hawk, too, from the railing.
You are correct. Yes, that yes. was 13. That was in the LOD match, correct?
Yeah, during the street fight.
Yes.
Colt Cabana punched Hawk. That's hilarious, dude.
Like a working punch, too. That's the best.
I can't wait to see Colt this weekend. Well, everyone, to help us out and fix our audio issues and our technical issues, what you can do is head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You like how I slid that in, Scott?
I'm over here just admiring how well you worked that in.
Thank you very much. You can pick up any of our past t-shirts over at whatamaneuver.net or Pro Wrestling Tees to help support the show. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. Scott, guess what? You get to do this in 11 episodes.
I do, and I am counting them down. And would you like to know how much I've been practicing over the last few weeks to get that down this time, Jeff?
Are you actually practicing in the mirror?
Not one bit. I am not practicing at all. It is going to be the biggest train wreck since episode 100 or since episode 188.
Episode 188 is going to be the bane, dude. We should make a t-shirt that just says, it has like episode 188 and it has a line through it.
Episode 188 is the maximum sweat of our back catalog.
You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you're on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes. Like Scott, this week it comes in from Gustador. Gustadore.
Gustador? Tinny Bloss?
Tinny Bloss? It says the OGs gave us sweet 5 stars. He goes, "I listen to a lot of podcasts, so many podcasts, in fact. I usually have to listen at 1.5 speed to keep up, but not Fully Posable. I need to savor every second possible." Thanks, man. That's awesome. Sometimes Sometimes I listen in squat mode.
Squat mode is not overrated.
Do you also dance like squat? Do you go into squat dance while listening in squat mode?
Wait till you see Kota Ibushi in squat mode. Start singing weird songs about him. It's awesome.
He said, he said, listen in squat mode. And he put quotation marks, half speed. Give it a try sometime. Thank you so much, man. That's awesome. Squat mode. That's like Brie mode, but it. Squat mode.
Yeah, exactly. New Orleans really brings on squat mode. Just ask Xavier Woods.
And also brings on Kota Ibushi songs.
Yes, exactly. I like 2 a.m. Oh. Jeff, I'm kind of upset. You didn't ask me what is fueling me this episode.
Oh, well, hold on one sec. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, before I ask what's fueling you, we have to announce the winner of the Bushwhackers Hasbro's giveaway that was donated to us by Ryan, who is also known at @toy_tracker on Twitter, or hit up the website wrestlingtoytracker.com, where you can see the average prices on eBay for Hasbro's, LJN's, and Retro's. And they have a new one coming up pretty soon, Scott.
Oh, really?
Yes. I can't wait to see what it is.
Oh, so they're adding a new category to their sold?
They sure are.
Oh, awesome. You know what? Can I make an educated guess?
Yes.
Galoob.
I was thinking that same thing. Either Galoob's or Remco's.
Oh, Remco's is a great suggestion too. You know what? If you want to put this kind of in a nutshell for what Ryan offers to people that go view his website, it's very simple. Don't get ripped off. Because prices right now on Hasbro's and LJN's, as we all know, are going absolutely crazy. So save yourself some money. Know what these things are going for. Educate yourself before you start purchasing. And Ryan offers a free tool to do that. So go check it out.
We want to thank Ryan at @toy_tracker on Twitter again for putting these Bushwhackers up. The winner of the carded Hasbro Bushwhackers is, drumroll, Scott. That was horrible.
Da, 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 da. Is that okay? Is that
you got to do it. You got to do it in Peter Griffin voice, like my breaking news. Okay, the winner of the carded Hasbro Bushwhackers is Bevan Boychuk at Bevan Boychuk on Twitter. Congratulations. One little caveat, I do have to throw in a little asterisk. Ryan is on vacation, so he won't be able to get to it right away, but when he gets back from vacation, he is going to send you these carded Hasbro Bushwhackers. Congratulations, Bevan. I was hoping to see Ryan in Chicago, but unfortunately he's not going to be there, so because he's on vacation. So that sucks, but I am very happy for Bevan Boychuk, and thank you so much to Ryan for putting these up for the summer of saying, dude, love.
Ryan, thank you so much for the donation. I know Bevan's going to appreciate it. And again, if you don't claim, you're lame. So you've got to claim your prizes, and these will go back into the hopper too. But I'm sure Bevan is going to listen, claim his prize. Ryan will ship it out. Winners all around. And it just continues the summer of saying dude love giveaway. But we're almost done with summer. We'll have to come up with something for the fall.
Somebody actually came up with something. I'll unveil that next week.
Oh, nice. Hopefully it's a pumpkin spice latte theme. No, really. I'm just kidding. I don't want that at all.
I don't want that either. Thanks. Thanks for bringing that to the show, Scott.
Yes, you're very welcome. I have to contribute something.
Episode 189, revisiting 188.
Yeah, that's 189's nod at 188. That's the pumpkin spice latte of our back catalog.
So thank you, Bevan. Okay, Scott, what is fueling you this episode?
Well, thank you for asking. It's become almost a weekly game where you guess. Of course it's Bang, but now you have to guess which flavor of Bang today.
Are you hooked on birthday cake?
Okay, so thank you for bringing that up. Last week when we recorded, I had not yet had the birthday cake. The very next day, come home for lunch, I go to leave, and I was planning on stopping at 7-Eleven or the liquor store to see what flavor Bang they had. I was going to grab one for the afternoon. I opened up the fridge on my way out the door. Mother-in-law had gone to Food Max, and mother-in-law purchased like 5 or 6 Bangs. Mother-in-law brought home a birthday cake Bang. I was Ooh. Super pumped. I was like, oh yes, I finally get to try it. I get in the car, I pop it open. First sip, I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, I'm definitely getting birthday cake. A few more sips in, and I'm like, okay. It's still good. But then after a while, it became more like birthday cake batter and not so much actual birthday cake. It was more tasting like the batter. So I'm not going to say that I didn't like it. I thought it was good, but A, it will not be a go-to, and B, trying to finish an entire can became a chore. Because you've even mentioned that, Jeff, that the bank cans are pretty big. And not that it's an effort to finish every flavor, but some flavors you're like, I think I'm good. Whereas other ones, like the sweet tea lemonade for me, I'm just like, I pound that thing. Like a shot of Jaeger, it just goes down real smooth. But the birthday cake is not going to be a go-to. It was good, but I'm not crazy about it. But in a smaller portion, I would be a bigger fan of it.
Gotcha. I agree with you about the birthday cake. It was good at first, and then halfway through, I was like, okay, I kind of over it. You know, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. It tastes like birthday cake, smells like birthday cake, but you know, it was one of those, okay, I'm good about halfway through. I usually drink about 2/3 of it anyways, of a bang, right, and then dump it. But this one I got about halfway through, and so I kind of agree with you. It's like, okay, I got my fill of it. It'd be better if it was like in one of those 8-ounce cans, like Red Bull.
Yes, half the can is fine. You're like, okay, that was good. It's not like root beer where you're like, oh, this is garbage. It wasn't like that. Even cotton candy for me, I'm just like, I'm not a big fan of that one. But this one is okay, but if it was like half the portion of the can. But today, Jeff, is not birthday cake.
Okay.
Would you like to guess?
Let's go peach mango.
Nope.
Let's go. This is riveting stuff.
Oh, dude. Yeah, the people are like glued to whatever devices they're listening to the podcast on right now. Like, they have to know.
Let's go sour heads.
Okay, you get one more guess, and then I'm just going to tell you.
Let's go cotton candy.
No, today, cotton candy. I just told you I didn't like that one. You're not paying attention.
Sorry, my bad.
And this is why people send you mean notes like you're talking over me. It's like you don't even know me anymore. Okay, today was fueled by Blue Raz.
Oh, you went with Blue Raz today, huh?
Blue Raz. I'm a big fan of Blue Raz. It doesn't break my top five, but it's really, really a solid. If you don't see like the sweet tea lemonade or cherry blade lemonade or even like a Sour Heads, if they have Blue Raz, I pick that one over Star Blast. I really like Blue Raz. It's not in my top five, but it's a solid go-to.
You know what I love about this is over at Doing the Favor, they talk about snacks. They talk about Little Debbie's, and they kind of talk about the food portion of snacks. We talk about energy drinks over here. Breaker and Bane also do energy drinks. They'll crack a bang every episode, but I kind of like how it's like everybody has their own little niche of regarding like food or drinks.
Well, it's very relevant to what we do because you and I both work all day. And then we come home and you either, you know, take care of something after work and then you have to come home and eat dinner. And then I have to come home, do homework with Peyton, cram some dinner down, and then immediately start podcasting. So it's a long day. But dude, you have a bang at like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. By the time we start recording at 7 o'clock, whatever it is, we're good to go. Dude, that bang, it fuels me. But by the time it's time to go to bed, there's like no crash at all. It's just right into sleep. It works good. But yeah, dude, for like those long days where we have to podcast, Bang really gets me through. And that was funny because that almost sounded like a sales pitch, but we are totally not sponsored by Bang. We're not hot chicks.
Okay. We've got to turn it from energy drink podcast to wrestling figure, Scott.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're here. I almost forgot. I was almost like Ric Flair at Sting's Hall of Fame induction, where he's like just going into business for himself, talking about his daughter. And he forgot why he was there. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm here to induct Sting. Here I am thinking I'm here to talk about Bang energy drinks.
Oh, I do have to say that my show is fueled by those. Remember a couple months ago I told you about those smart cups? You just pour water into it and it has these little pods at the bottom and it releases B vitamins and caffeine up into the water.
Right. Yes.
My podcast is fueled by that. I'm doing one of those right now. It's working. It's a very subtle, like I told you, it's like a very subtle pick-me-up. It's not like that guitar screeching bang, you know, like Kool-Aid Man busting through the wall. This is a very subtle kind of kickback. If you're doing yard work, this is what you kind of have, at least for me. But if like you're going to go work out and you're going to lift heavy weights and go play sports or something, then you might want to bang, you know, something like that.
So what you're saying is I'm a monster truck crushing cars and yes, you're a cool laid back long haired dude just rolling through on a skateboard.
I am very Berkeley-ish.
Yes. Okay. Got it, hipster. Let's do this.
Scott, we're going to skip Figure Friday. We're going to skip Toy Spot this week. We're going to go straight into Listener. I kind of want to speed this up. We have a long flight tomorrow night going to Chicago.
But I have Toy Spotting.
Oh, you do?
I do. I actually have quite a bit of Toy Spotting.
Okay.
I can make it really quick, though, dude. I can, like, blow through it.
All right, go for it.
Okay, first up, as promised, I did order the Storm Collectibles Hogan set of three. Got my 10% discount. Went on today. Guess what? Price went up $10. They were $99.99 for the entire set of three. Now, it's $109.99. So I think as stock is dwindling, the price is going up. So it's like the stock market, supply and demand, right? So I would suggest if you're thinking about it, don't think about it anymore. Just go purchase them because I don't know if the price is going to go up again. But anyway, use code FULLYPOSABLE. Save yourself 10%. I took advantage of the GameStop $5 Elite sale. And I picked up Breezango, Roman Reigns, and Ronda Rousey. Proceeded to check Walmart two times and came up dry. And that's my toy spotting. Boom. Finished in like a minute and a half. I'm not even going to say it. That's what she said. I had to say it.
I do want to say real quick, thank you to L underscore H underscore 05 on Instagram. He is a local collector. He lives in San Francisco, Scott. He picked me up The Rock. And around the same time, it was literally within seconds of each other, Tim at a chair shot sent me a message that he got me a Rock.
Oh, excellent.
So I had two Rocks. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to send one over to you, Scott. So, you know, the listeners are giving back to us. And thank you again for that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. That means so much to us that you guys did that. As I said, I had too much on my plate. I didn't go toy spotting. I went to our Walmart and all they had was the SummerSlam basic. They went basic 93 up to basic 98, then back to 97. No elites.
Okay. Yeah, ours had the SummerSlam basics too. Did you get your Brett?
I did.
Okay, perfect. Then yeah, that's exactly what ours had too. No elites to report. Walmart's dry. So it just goes to show you guys, when you go out in Toy Spot and hit us up, it helps us out a ton because we come up dry most times. So thank you very much, guys, for the rocks. Much appreciated.
I want to thank Tim and Dante for sending those over.
Thanks, guys.
Scott, by the time this show drops, I will have been at StarCast. I will have gotten all the autographs at StarCast. You guys will be seeing the pictures by the time the show drops. Getting a Lunge Blaze. I am getting Mick Foley to sign his retro figure. Getting CM Punk to sign the Series 1. And I'm getting Razor Ramon to sign, or Scott Hall, to sign one of those card collectors that I put the Hasbros in.
So, so awesome, dude. Yeah. The CM Punk, I am going to be super jealous when I see it.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited to meet CM Punk, dude. He was on my bucket list.
He's on mine, too. I just wish I could afford that. That's an expensive autograph, but I'm super happy you're getting it, dude. That's a great addition to the collection.
Thanks, man. So now it's my bucket list is down to Daniel Bryan. It is Okada and Naito. So that's my bucket list right now.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, you should be able to knock those out.
Hopefully. Okada, those tickets sold out so quick last year at Pro Wrestling Tees on Sunday. Missed. It sold out so quick. I wish I would have gotten something signed by him. He's one that I want to meet. That rounds out the toy spotting that Scott surprised me with. I thought we were skipping it tonight, dude.
Yeah, I just gave you a quickie.
Scott, we're going to do the quick listener segment. We're just jump right into it. Comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here, back with that weekly question. Simple wish list one for you guys today. What guys would you like to see be part of the Legends of Lucha line? The two guys I have in mind are LA Parka and Johnny Mundo. Well, I do believe LA Parka has had a figure before. He's one we really haven't gotten anything of. As far as Johnny Mundo, while I know he's more with Impact now, I would like to see if Boss Studios could make a deal with him. It's been far too long since we've gotten another figure of John, and I doubt he's heading back to WWE anytime soon. Scott, who would you like to see in the Lucha line?
I think Psychosis would look awesome. I think that'd make a badass looking figure. Of course, I would love to see La Parka,
right?
The chairman of WCW. I think he's a great looking character from head to toe. Just his costume is awesome. If I could only pick two, I think it would be those guys. Possibly a third, I guess, would be Mil Mascaris. I guess everybody pronounces it different.
I think you had it right the first time, Mil Mascaris.
Yeah, I would like to see him, the Man of a Thousand Masks, I believe is what he's called.
Yes.
Bill Mascaris. I'm see, bilingual. That's what I'm bringing to the show today also, aside from my jokes. I would like to see him. If I could pick three, that would be my line of three.
Okay. I was always a fan of La Parca, and I believe, yeah, he's had a figure before. I think they had that AAA. So yes. I wouldn't mind another one, or an updated one, I should say. I'm excited for these figures. I mean, obviously, if I'd gotten this question, I'd be like, oh, Penta. I've been wanting a Penta or a Phoenix. I want a Phoenix. Those guys are coming out. I can't wait for it.
I think Vampiro would be a strong addition to the line as well.
Vampiro would be a excellent addition to that.
I mean, there's not much competition for his figures, right? Because there haven't been many Vampiro figures.
Correct.
Right now, I think the Toy Biz would stand up as his best one. So I would love to see Boss Fight take a shot at Vampiro.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Dude, do you remember watching LA or La Parca or in WCW?
Oh, of course, yeah. The chairman of WCW.
Dude, I used to love his matches. Just sitting there watching it, he would bring that chair in. He would play like a guitar on the chairs. Oh, dude, I missed that.
Oh, and he'd do his little dance? I loved La Parca.
I did too.
Or LA Park, as you might know him as.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a lot of Lucha guys that they could do from the past. And even though we know Mattel has the Eddie Guerrero license, I wouldn't mind seeing a Boss Fighter, Mass Republic, Eddie Guerrero. That would be sick, dude. Just kind of a callback.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Or what about Andrade with his mask? I mean, again, we know Mattel has these, but it's almost like you would want to see, because you know Mattel's never going to do Andrade with his mask.
Correct.
So that would be cool if Boss Fight could take a shot at it. But of course, they're never going to have that until Andrade leaves WWE, if he ever does. But yeah, it's kind of cool because you could take these figures and kind of compare and contrast. Like if they could do a Rey Mysterio or an Eddie Guerrero, you could compare them to Mattel. But those are just wish list items. But yeah, I think La Parca, that would just be awesome. Vampiro, Mil Mascaris, Psychosis, I think would make an awesome looking figure. The list goes on. You know, Great Puma? Probably not.
Or what about Chris Jericho, younger Chris Jericho, when he was in Mexico?
Yeah, that would be awesome too.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I would love to see that. But again, you know, who knows who's going to get the AEW license? Could they even do a Jericho? But yeah, there are so many possibilities of who could come out. It's just awesome. It's really one of those stay tuned to see who gets announced. Because now that they have this license, who knows who's going to show up in the line?
Scott, we do have a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
Scott, we have a little bit more news regarding the Masked Republic Boss Fight Studios. We were just talking about him from Josh Thompson's question. But we have a little bit more news regarding it. We were informed that Penta Zero will come with a light tube. All figures will come with a different accessory. Phoenix will be with the kendo stick. There was a 3-inch figure line. They called them Luchatinis. Phoenix, Tini Blas will be in there, Penta, Conan, basically all the guys that we mentioned last week that are going to be in their 6-inch line are going to be in this one. Their 3-inch collector's line will have accessories, a PDQ display box, individual window boxes, and there will be color variants. I love how Masked Republic and Boss Fight Studios are just coming out swinging, dude. Like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Here's everything. Let's go. You know, it's like pedal to the metal. We're going to blow you guys away and we're going to keep this car going at a quick pace.
Yeah, I love having the variety, right? And we said it last week, how much variety there is now in wrestling figures. And I'm loving that they're bringing the lucha element to it. You know, we're kind of at the mercy of who FTC is able to get under contract and, you know, the occasional Rey Mysterio figure from Mattel or an Andrade. But here, a Boss Fight is bringing, like, the entire world of lucha right to your doorstep. And I love it. That's kind of an element of wrestling figure collecting that hasn't really been there. So I'm glad to see them stepping up. FTC is going to continue to get guys under their umbrella. Of course, with the WWE Mattel license, they'll continue to do the Eddie Guerreros and the Andrades and the Rey Mysterios. But Boss Fight is really bringing it with this line. And again, as we said in the last segment, stay tuned. Because more names are going to get announced. As Ben from Megalopolis mentioned last week, there's a possibility of them doing variants with Boss Fight as well and exclusives. So just this whole world of Lucha has opened up, and I'm loving it. I can't wait to see what else gets announced.
On luchashop.com, they do have figures for sale. They were the old AAA figures. There was La Parca, there was Conan. They do have those old figures back up there. They are sold out of Conan, El Hijo del Santo. Isn't it Hijo?
Did you say Hijo?
Isn't it Hijo?
Oh my God, you just killed me, dude. El Hijo. Jeff, the H is silent.
Oh.
Hijo.
Hijo. Hijo.
You killed me. Oh my gosh, that was great. El Hijo.
The H is silent, like in swimming, right?
Like the K in swimming, yes.
They do have La Parca still up for availability over there. You love me, Scott.
You killed me with the Hijo. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
that's awesome.
My German is impeccable, Scott.
Yes, you're very fluent.
So they do have a few figures. As I said, they are out of Perro Aguayo and Conan. So head on over there if you want to pick up a La Parca figure. They are on the pricey side. So I will preface, they are on the pricey side. Scott, FTC figures, what you got?
Yes, they showed a rendering of what Sandman is going to look like. It was more a rendering of his outfit. And he's going to have the American pants on, which I think is a great call. I love it. If they can do cans of beers as his accessories, I think that that's going to put this thing up over the top. But so far, so good on Sandman. I can't wait to see what the head sculpt looks like. I haven't seen it yet. But based on the rendering of his outfit, it's going to be an awesome looking figure and a great addition to the ECW line within FTC.
There's a lot of people excited for that figure. I mean, a lot of people, they got a lot of love when they showed off that rendering. So there's a lot of people like clamoring for that Sandman figure. I mean, it's just a great callback to his 1995 look. I think it was 95 or 96 look.
Yeah, his mid to late 90s look. And look, Sandman is such an icon, and that word gets overused a lot. But when you think ECW, Sandman is right at the top of that list. When you think ECW, he was ECW. The guy broke his head open on a beer can every match, had a Singapore cane, just screamed ECW. And from the look so far, FTC is absolutely going to do this figure justice. I love that they did the American pants on him. It looks so good.
Scott, quick surprise question for you. We're throwing in your secret question.
Wow, you're just busting out the segments this week.
What is your favorite ECW memory? Whether it's a match or whatever it may be, what is your favorite ECW memory?
For me personally, it was the first pay-per-view in 97 when the Eliminators faced the Dudleys. That was my first introduction to ECW, the first time I had ever actually been able to watch it. I'd only heard about it, but being on the West Coast, we weren't able to experience it unless we had VHS tapes purchased, which they weren't as easy to get back in the day. So since we were on the West Coast, we didn't get ECW on TV. We had to purchase videotapes of it. But I hadn't seen ECW until their first pay-per-view. And the first match on the first pay-per-view had the Dudleys against the Eliminators, which to this day is one of my go-tos. If I want to watch a quick match, that match goes on. I loved it. It was my first introduction to ECW, and I immediately fell in love with it. And that match, to me, will always hold a special place in my heart because it was my introduction to it and really just made me fall in love with what was ECW.
I love it, dude, because that is one of my favorite memories as well. Because I remember being at mom and dad's house, sitting downstairs, and we had waited so long for this pay-per-view. I mean, literally, we had waited months because we had heard that there was going to be an ECW pay-per-view, and then we started seeing, remember the channel that used to show movies that would be coming up or events that were coming up on pay-per-view?
Yes, it was like a preview channel.
Correct. And they kept showing ECW, and they would show it on a loop for like every 7 or 8 minutes, and we would always wait for that one clip of ECW. It's all live on pay-per-view in April, you know, ECW, barely legal. We're like, yes. And we'd watch it over and over and over. And that's my favorite thing is, like, we'd be upstairs, we'd be watching SportsCenter, eating pizza or something, and then we'd flip back over to that preview channel just to see that clip of ECW Barely Legal's preview coming up.
Yeah, because we were seeing the guys on Raw.
Yes.
They were kind of doing the little invasion angles and really just kind of teasing it. But we didn't really have a strong knowledge of what ECW was all about until that first pay-per-view happened. So you're right. The anticipation was through the roof. The very first match out of the gate, Dudleys versus Eliminators. And number one, I've always been a big fan of Texas Tornado tag team rules, where all four guys are in the ring at the same time. And that match was all about that. So that immediately captured my attention. And then the Dudleys and the Eliminators just pulling off these amazing moves that you really didn't see a lot of in WWE. And I was just blown away. The Eliminators, look, in terms of tag teams all time, if those two guys could have stayed healthy and in shape, who knows? They could have been the next big thing in WWE instead of the Dudleys. They were amazing. They were absolutely incredible. And that is still one of my go-to matches, as it was my introduction to ECW. And to this day, just absolutely love it. And it's my fondest memory.
Wasn't it just called Tornado Tag?
I thought it was called Texas Tornado.
Hmm. We'll need clarification.
Was it Tornado Tag? Or am I just adding Texas to it because of Texas Tornado?
I think you added Texas to it.
I did watch SummerSlam 90 today, if that means anything.
Did they call it a Texas Tornado Tag?
No, Texas Tornado wrestled Mr. Perfect for the IC title.
Oh, that's right. Well, yes, there was that too.
So I might be thinking just Texas Tornado because I watched SummerSlam today. It might have been Tornado Tag.
Yeah, I thought it was just Tornado Tag. Anyways.
Okay, so it was a Tornado Tag then, not a Texas Tornado.
One of my other favorite memories from ECW is back in 1995, we got this channel. And it was like a weird channel out here. It was Channel 8. And they showed different wrestling each night. So Monday night would be like Smoky Mountain. The next night would be, oh man, another one from like somewhere in the South. Then on Wednesday night, they would show WWE. They would kind of recap Raw. It'd just be like a little recap show of what Monday night Raw was. Then they would, on Thursday nights, they would show ECW. And this was pre-ECW, like pre-Extreme. But what they did is they showed one match where it had Mick Foley and Terry Funk. And at the end of the match, they threw all the fans, I should say, threw all chairs into the ring. We've all seen that clip. And I remember flipping out going, what the hell am I seeing, right?
You're going to break Terry Funk. Knock it off.
Well, I think Terry or Mick got knocked out legitimately from it.
Gosh.
So I'm flipping out. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So you got home when you were working at Sport Mart. And I'm like, Scott, Cactus Jack and Terry Funk were in a tag match. And all of a sudden, fans just started throwing chairs in the ring. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
And there was no like DVR to go back and rewind. You weren't taping it. So
no.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. And I wish I did VHS tape it just to show you. But I didn't even think about it. It was because I was just like, okay, here's another random wrestling show. Here's Smoky Mountain on Monday. You know, the random South indie-based promotion. Then, you know, Raw on Wednesday. And then, you know, ECW on Thursday. But I didn't know what the hell I was watching. I was like, dude, chairs, ring, burying other wrestlers. Dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, and that was just the beauty of the promotion is they were showing you things that you weren't used to seeing on your run-of-the-mill Saturday or Monday wrestling.
So eventually that channel ended up switching over to classic movies. So that went on, each wrestling thing went on for about another 2 weeks. And then it switched over to classic movies like old Westerns and black and white films. And then it phased out wrestling completely. Like they would still show Monday Night Raw on Wednesdays. I guess that was high ratings for them or whatnot. But then they phased out that and it just went to classic movies. I was like, oh man, you know, I wanted to watch more of crazy chair throwing fans, whatever the hell's going on that episode, you know?
Yeah, it was like they gave you a taste and you didn't get any more. And you're like, I want it. And then, of course, they started teasing on Monday Night Raw. And we knew the pay-per-view was coming. We're constantly watching the... We must have watched that pay-per-view. Oh, do we watch it on a Christmas Eve?
Oh, dude, we did.
Yeah, we had company over and we're like, okay, we're watching this downstairs. Like, we don't even care. We just put the tape in and we started playing. And all of a sudden, like a bunch of people that were sitting there talking were suddenly downstairs watching the pay-per-view with us. It was that good. Like, we were drawing a Christmas party crowd downstairs to watch Barely Legal with us.
So kind of give you a little backstory to our Christmas Eve is our older brothers... are big hunters. And you guys heard this on our parents episode.
Half brothers.
Half brothers, yes. Heroes in a half shell, right?
Heroes in a half brother shell.
They're not big into wrestling. They're big hunters, just like our dad. And every Christmas Eve, they will come over and they will pop in a DVD or a VHS tape and they would watch duck hunting. Well, Scott and I kind of laid claim to the VHS downstairs that Christmas Eve. So we started drawing the crowd. So the funny thing is Scott goes, oh, you got to see this power bomb. So I think it was in that Japanese match where they showed Taka Michinoku, the BWO.
Yeah, with the green Power Ranger.
Yep. So the guy does a power bomb, and one of our older brothers, Kevin, goes, what's a power bomb? Was that a knee to the junk? Yeah. Got us dying because they don't know anything about wrestling. All they know is we like it and we're dorks, and they're right.
Yeah, they played with guns. We played with wrestling figures. Big difference.
There's a big difference. Although King Kong Bundy LJN can be used as a weapon.
That is true, yes.
Yes, yes. Anyways, that was fun to reminisce, dude. ECW right there.
Love it.
I know. I do. I think back to their figures, how excited we were. We talked about them on when we recapped the old San Francisco Toy Makers ECW figures, but we were just so excited about ECW because we didn't get it all the time out here. You know, I mean, we couldn't get enough of it because we couldn't get it. And I know people on the East Coast had it like right at their fingertips, but it would be like 3 a.m. on channel 12 or something from what I've heard, or channel 9 or whatever. But we couldn't get it enough out here because we would see the pay-per-view, then we wouldn't have anything until the next pay-per-view.
Exactly. Exactly. We were starved for ECW out here on the West Coast.
One of my favorite other things, and then we'll jump into our next segment. One of my other favorite things is and I don't know if you did, Scott, but me, special guest Sean, and Nathan, and I think Ed Bell did too, we started calling Comcast, or AT&T, or whoever cable company we had, and started calling them to get ECW out on the local airwaves. Like, we were begging them to put ECW out on the airwaves, and they're like, what's ECW? Like, you don't understand.
Yeah. Let me show you this match, the Eliminators and the Dudleys. You'll be convinced. Watch this power bomb. It's Anita the Junk.
So that was fun, dude. That was fun to reminisce. I know we broke character there and talked a little wrestling history, I guess you can kind of say, and reminiscing, but...
Well, we could talk wrestling every now and then.
I know. We didn't go into storylines and stuff like that. We just talked about, you know, sitting back and watching that first pay-per-view. It was just so much fun, dude. I remember we had a big gathering for that pay-per-view. We got pizzas. Mom had all the Dr. Peppers from Costco over.
Yeah, literally the entire palette.
I think so. But yeah, I think back to that, dude, and just talk about happy memories.
Well, every ECW pay-per-view, every one that they had, we had guys over. Like, right. All of our friends, Ed, Sean, Big Dave would come over. Like, it would just be a gathering of us for the ECW pay-per-views. It was an event. We were just so starved for it. Like you said, having to wait, what was it, 3 or 4 months between pay-per-views, whatever it was. It drove up our demand for it.
Yeah. I think like the next pay-per-view after that one was Heat Wave 97.
Gosh, I don't remember. Just that Barely Legal stands out so much as just the first one that we got here and just my fondest memory of ECW as my introduction to it.
Yeah. And then you didn't know the storylines going into the next pay-per-view, but you didn't care. All you wanted
didn't matter.
To see. Yeah. You just wanted to see chair shots. You wanted to see hardcore. And then you wanted to see RVD.
Yes.
RVD was putting on 5-star matches, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mr. Monday Night.
Absolutely. Scott, we are going to play the main event. It is time we do that. We haven't done this in a while, and I'm excited to do it. So, Scott, let's jump into it.
And now, it's time for our main event.
Scott, we are going to play the main event, and I'm going to let you explain the rules.
So, the main event is where we pick two wrestlers, and we pit them head to head, but not based on the wrestlers themselves or who we think would win. We are actually taking their best wrestling figure and pitting each of those against each other. And this week, Jeff, let me kind of go into why I chose these two guys. I was watching the network the other day during lunch, as I always do, And one of the suggestions, I kind of scroll through the suggestions just to get something quick during lunch. And one of the suggestions was the Sting documentary called Into the Light. And it's kind of a career retrospective of Sting. And one of the highlights of the documentary was his 1997 Starrcade match against Hogan. And it kind of goes through the buildup of his character, how he basically didn't say anything or get competitive in the ring, didn't have a match for the better part of like a year and a half. And he developed the Crow character, which most of us know and love. And it kind of goes into how they built up to the Starrcade 97 match. And then it kind of goes into the debacle that was the 1997 Starrcade main event between Hollywood Hogan and Sting. That match, it had the potential to be one of the biggest and best matches ever. And in my opinion, it crapped the bed. There was the botched finish where Nick Patrick was supposed to be the crooked ref, but he clearly counted Sting's shoulders down on three. It wasn't a fast count. It was a regular count. There was rumors of backstage politics going on where Hogan didn't want to put Sting over for whatever reason. All that aside, while I'm watching the documentary, it occurs to me that this match has two of the best Sting figures and Hogan figures ever created. So before we get into that, Jeff, let's kind of go into our favorite Sting and Hulk Hogan figures. Mine, and I'll throw out two Stings, Defining Moment Sting, which clearly fits the bill for this specific match, Starrcade 97. He's Defining Moments package, the black outfit, the black bat, the trench coat, the white and black face paint, the long hair. It captures that Crow Sting perfectly and is the best Crow Sting created. The flip side of that Sting is Surfer Sting, which I think, in my opinion, Galoob captured him the best. His first Galoob, yes, it came out in the early 90s, but to this day is the best version of Surfer Sting ever done. Now, his opponent, Hogan, I'm going to go to two of his best. As we all know, my favorite Hogan, the Defining Moments Hulk Hogan, a la 1986 Hulk Hogan. Just picture Saturday Night's Main Event, 1986. He's got that classic 86 world title. He's got the shirt that he can rip off. He's got the gold chain. He's got the bandana. It perfectly captures the red and yellow Hogan. But for the purposes of this match, I'm selecting the Storm Collectibles Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. It's got a dual set of hands. It's got a chain. It's got a headband. It's got sunglasses. It's got a base that you can stand them on. Clear window packaged front so you don't have to open it. You can if you want, but if you leave it in the package, it looks just as beautiful as if you opened it. So for this match, for me, I'm going Defining Moments Crow Sting and Storm Collectibles Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
I agree with you on those two figures, but I do want to add some figures that may fly under the radar for these two gentlemen. I want to add the UK Galoob Sting.
Oh, that's a good one.
He does have the jacket on, so that kind of takes away from it. But at the same time, it's a good figure. I actually like that figure a lot. So I'm going to throw that one in there as an underrated figure. The other one that I'm going to say is the Surfer Sting Basic. It's a basic, but it captures Sting perfectly, Surfer Sting perfectly, as I should say. So I want to throw those two out there. Let's not ignore those two figures of Sting. For Hogan, the white shirt LJN, that's an excellent, excellent Hogan. And I want to make sure that that one gets up there as one of the best Hogans. The other one, I'm going to say the mail away. I really love the mail away. The more I look at it, I'm like, man, that is a good Hogan.
But that was WrestleMania 9 Hogan.
It was. So the Hasbro mail away Hogan, I do want to throw out there. Now, to your final two, I agree with you. I love the Galoob Sting. The blue pants, the face paint. You knew who it was. There was no doubt about it. I mean, even though the back of the card, or on the card, it had Sting's face right there. But if you took that figure out and threw away the card and put that figure on somebody's desk, you're going to walk by and go, oh, I remember that rendition of Sting. I remember when he was doing the surfer gimmick. I love that Galoob Sting, but I agree with you. The best Sting made is the Crow Sting. I will agree with you 100%, Scott. That is the best Sting made.
I remember seeing that figure at Access in 2015 when we went to WrestleMania 31.
Yes.
That was the first time that they had shown that figure. And I remember just standing there in awe of the job they had done on that Sting. I could not believe it. To this day, I mean, we had the Toy Biz Stings, and I'll admit, I really do like a couple of the Stings that they did. That six-pack of Sting, love it. The Sting, the Crow Sting, and the black jacket, the pleather jacket, love that one. Toy Biz did a couple of really good Stings, but Mattel just absolutely hit a home run with their Defining Moments Crow Sting. They could not have produced a better-looking Sting figure. The jacket, the bat, the face sculpt, everything about that figure is just perfect.
Let's not forget the Jax TNA Sting figure where he came with the purple jacket and the bat.
Oh, that one's great too. Yes. That one's really good. I don't want to sell that figure short at all. But
yes.
In terms of Crow Sting, that one is far and away the best Sting that's ever been done for Crow Sting. The Mattel Defining Moments is just next level.
So I do agree with you on the Crow Defining Moments Sting, but I do want to give honorable mentions to those Stings also. For Hogan's, the Storm Collectibles, I know some people aren't fans of them, but man, I absolutely adore the Storm Collectible Hogan.
I do too.
The black and the white, it's supposed to it's supposed to be NWO Hogan, but it captures Hogan. It's got the perfect tan, the snarl, the shirt, everything about it is just perfect.
It really is. And let's not sell the Jax Classic Superstars Hogan short either. The Series 8, the Hollywood Hogan. That one's really, really well done.
Yes, that's a good honorable mention.
Yeah, but for me, my opinion, I like the Storm Collectibles one. You could pick the black and the white or the red, black, and the white. Both of those are just outstanding Hollywood Hogan figures. And the Defining Moments Hogan is my favorite Hogan. The Storm would be like 1B. It's definitely a 1A and 1B situation. They're both just outstanding. But it is two different versions of Hogan. One is your 86 Hogan, all the kids' favorite. And then you've got your heel Hollywood Hogan. And for the purposes of this match, Jeff, those were my two picks. And I believe we're in agreement here that the two figures we're putting head-to-head are the Mattel Defining Moments Crow Sting and Storm Collectibles Hollywood Hogan.
I actually have the Storm Collectibles Hogan over the Hogan Defining Moment.
Oh, really?
I do. I love the Storm Collectibles. I hate to say it, but I'm excited about this next three-pack that they're doing, or the three that they're releasing, the two limiteds and the one regular release.
That's why I had to buy them.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited about these ones.
I am too. And the fact that two of them are limited to 1,000... there was no hesitation on my part. I was like, okay, as soon as I have the money, I'm buying all three of them. They are just so, so well done. Storm, just, they found a way to perfectly capture Hulk Hogan.
So now we have to pit the Crow Defining Moment Sting versus the Hogan Storm Collectibles. Scott, which one is your favorite?
Well, first off, let's go over the attributes of each. Let's compare packaging. We all know the Defining Moments package. It's the gold and the black box. You have clear window on the front and back, not just the front, it's on both sides, so you can see the amazing detail on the backside of the figure, which definitely comes in handy with that WrestleMania 7 Ultimate Warrior. So the Sting has a clear front and back. The Storm Collectibles, on the other hand, is clear window front. You can see the figure, you can see the included accessories, but the back is not a clear window. It's a cardboard box back on it. So you lose a few points on the Storm Collectibles side for the packaging. Not that it's bad by any stretch, because on the backside of the package, you get a picture of the figure, but you can't see through to see the detail on the back of the figure, whereas with Defining Moments, they have the edge on the packaging because of the clear back. And that really, again, pays off with that Ultimate Warrior figure. It pays off with the Hogan because you can see the rips in the shirt. It pays off with the Macho Man. You see the attention to the detail on his WrestleMania 7 Defining Moment. So in terms of packaging, Mattel wins.
Much agreed.
Okay, so let's go over accessories next.
Yes, Sting has the black jacket with the black bat.
Yes, the black pleather jacket and the black baseball bat. And that's it for accessories. I feel that maybe they came up a little bit short. It would have been cool if they would have included the title that he won at 97 Starrcade. Or I should say that Bret Hart helped him win at 97 Starrcade, even though there wasn't a fast count. I think that would have been cool to include either the spray-painted NWO belt or just the gold, big gold belt. I think that that would have added a little bit extra to it. I feel that they kind of missed out with that.
I don't know. It might have been too much inside the packaging because you still had to see the background going back to the packaging. You still needed to see the background where Sting's face is in the back. If you look at it facing you, there's outlines of Sting's face back there.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it because he was Crow Sting before he was the heavyweight champion for so long, almost a year and a half. So there was a lot of build to that match. But that was kind of like the cherry on top of that run or that build to that match was him winning that title. So the fact that they threw, what, three titles into that Stone Cold one?
Yes.
Along with the figure, I feel that there could have been one more accessory in that defining moments. I feel that they could have included that big gold belt.
So for the Hogan, it comes with a ton of accessories. It comes with a feather boa, a bandana, extra hands,
sunglasses, a stand, a gold chain.
A t-shirt that's kind of cut off the way Hogan used to wear it, where he cut the sides out.
Yep.
There's so many accessories that comes with the Hogan. So if you're going by accessories, Hogan wins.
Yes, very much so. I don't feel that they were missing anything. Obviously, Storm Collectibles cannot do the heavyweight title. They did the weight belt, but you can't do the heavyweight title, obviously, for copyright issues. So Storm gets a pass on that one for me for not including a heavyweight title. But everything else about that Hollywood Hogan, if he wore it, it's in the packaging, including an extra set of hands. So for me, I agree with you, Jeff. Storm Collectibles wins on accessories.
So what's the next topic?
Next topic would be overall appearance of the figure. So you're throwing away the packaging, you're putting the accessories aside, and you're literally taking the Sting figure and you're taking the Hogan figure, this is loose, and putting them side by side for a straight up comparison of, okay, who captured them best? For me, this is six of one, half dozen of the other. They're both perfect. This is why this is the main event. You're dealing with the best of the best, the cream of the crop. These are perfect figures. And to me, it's a wash. It's a 50-50 split. Neither tops the other.
You can't choose, huh?
No, I can't even go 51-49 on this. They both are captured so perfectly. It's the best Sting, Crow Sting version, and it's the best Hollywood Hogan. It's literally the best of the best, and I can't really put one over the other. They're both so perfect. It is literally a 50-50 for me.
So looking at the figures and at the wrestlers, if I had to choose, you know, you're put on the spot, I would lean towards the Hogan because I love that Hogan figure. I really, really do. It's got that snarl. It's got the expression. I mean, yeah, the Sting defining moment, it's awesome. I mean, it really is. The packaging, the presentation with the faces in the background and everything. But man, that Hogan, when you take it out of the package, it's Hogan. It's got the feather boa. It's got that 97 WCW Monday Nitro look, dude. I mean, I love it. It's not the red and yellow Hogan that I love so much, but the way they captured the Hollywood Hogan look, it's beautiful. I mean, to put it over that defining moment Hogan says a lot. It just right there.
Well, because in my opinion, that's the best Hogan of all time.
Correct.
The defining moments Hogan is the best ever. So yeah, the fact that you put it above it tells me how much you value that figure. For me, because I have a tiebreaker now, right? Defining moments takes the packaging. Storm takes the accessories. The figures are an even 50-50 split. So I have to look at it how I collect. Okay. And I'm a mint on card collector. And if I'm going to display the defining moment Sting and I'm going to display the Storm Collectibles Hollywood Hogan, for me, the defining moment Sting looks better up on the wall than the Storm Collectibles Hogan. And that's not a knock necessarily on Storm's packaging. It's more of a compliment to how well Mattel did with these beautiful defining moments figures. So on my scoring sheet, it is going 51-49 in favor of defining moments Crow Sting.
It's like a boxing match. One judge will give it round 3, 10-9.
It's like Sting landed one more punch than Hogan, so he got one more point on the card. Like, this one, to me, this is the closest one we've ever done.
Yes.
And this is, when I was watching that match, I started thinking about wrestling figures, as I often do. And I'm like, man, this would be a great segment for main event. And I started thinking of the best Sting figures and the best Hogan figures. And I was like, two of their very best are in this match. I was like, we've got to have this on main event. I didn't know before we started talking which way I was going to go. I've been back and forth all week thinking about it. But going into how I collect Mint on Card, I just think that the Sting looks better hanging up. And it's 51-49 Sting.
That's an interesting way of pointing that out. Is like, which way or which one would you want to hang up on the wall? Which one looks better hung up on the wall? That's a good way of actually looking at it. I'm bringing everything into it. Packaging. I'm bringing the presentation. So if you take it out of the package, the Hogan is just awesome with the feather boa. And it looks so good. Storm did a wonderful job on that figure. As you said, it's not a knock against the other figure. It's more just how well Storm or Mattel did on that respective figure.
Absolutely.
We got a split, Scott. Judges are split on this one.
Yeah, you're taking Hogan. I'm taking Sting. Definitely a split decision. But again, this is easily the closest comparison we've ever done in the main event. This is the closest head-to-head matchup. And it's so hard to pick a winner. There's not really a loser in this one. I mean, it's that close. And it really falls into how do you display the figures? Do you display them loose or do you display them carded? That could determine which one is your favorite. And for me, the way I collect, it's a super narrow edge, but it goes to Sting.
We are split, Scott. Let's hear what the listeners got to say, which ones they prefer. So Scott, I am heading off to Chicago in a few hours.
Yeah, be safe, dude. Have a great trip. Enjoy meeting the listeners. Enjoy talking to the Doing the Favor guys, the PPW guys. I'm super jealous.
Yeah, there's so many people I'm excited to see. I get to see Ryan Cierney. I get to see Jeff at VerbalSos37. I get to see Marty and Sarah. So excited to see them.
That's great.
Celeste and I kind of figured it out. We're only going to be in Chicago for about, I think, a total of like 34 or 37 hours. By the time we land and, you know, to the time we leave, we're only going to be there for literally like 30 something hours.
So I would put the over and under on me eating pizzas at 4. I would eat 4 pizzas in 37 hours.
I may be lucky to get a slice, you know, a one by challenge, you know, but
do it.
But I'm just excited to see everyone. You know, I'm excited to see Barry. I'm excited to see Eric. You know, I think this trip has become more about getting to meet CM Punk, getting to see everyone and hang out with everyone. And if you're going to be in Chicago, or if you were in Chicago, hopefully you came up to me, you know, and said hi or whatnot, you know, introduced yourself. I'd love meeting the listener. So come on up.
Take lots of pictures, dude.
I will. I'm going to be posting those to the Twitter machine.
Yes, there you go.
I also want to thank Ryan over at Toy Underscore Tracker. Thank you so much for putting those Hasbro Bushwhackers up. I know we had you on before. The listener who won didn't claim, so congrats to Bevan Boychuk, man. All you have to do is like and retweet. That's it.
Picking up the loose change.
Yep, and guess what? You win. That's it. That's all you have to do, and congratulations to Bevan on winning, but thank you so much to Ryan for putting those figures up and contributing to the summer of Saying Do Love. So again, if you are in the market to collect old Hasbros, LJNs, or retros, and you want to make sure you're getting a fair price, head on over to WrestlingToyTracker.com. Follow Ryan at Toy_Tracker, where he's posting pictures of carded LJNs, carded Hasbros, whatever it may be. And he's giving you the rundown of how much they are going for, the average price, I should say. Scott, Eagle Moss.
Yes, Jeff, Eagle Moss. You can follow them on Twitter at HeroCollector_. They are doing an amazing, incredible line of WWE statues. The most recent one, the Finn Balor and Sasha. The Finn Balor is easily my favorite of the whole bunch so far. They all look amazing, but that Finn Balor, man, you look at it up close, it's incredible. You guys are going to love it. Definitely go check it out. I posted some pictures on my Twitter, so go check that out. You can kind of zoom in to look at the amazing detail on that figure, or on that statue, I should say. But definitely go give him a follow on Twitter at HeroCollector_. These statues are not expensive. You can go to their site. You can subscribe to their service. They will send you the statues directly. And at the end of it all, they're going to send you a great looking ring to display them all in. Who doesn't want that? You called these desktop displays, Jeff. Couldn't have put it better. These are great to take to work. You can take the ring. You can take statues. Put them on your desk. They're going to get a ton of attention and they look fantastic. So definitely go check out the Eagle Moss guys on Twitter at HeroCollector_. And Jeff, you are actually going to have Michael from Eagle Moss on very, very soon.
I am. I'm excited to have him on. We'll be on to discuss the Eagle Moss figures. We'll be on to discuss everything under the sun regarding the WWE license. I'm really excited to have him on. So yes, he will be on soon. I want to throw it back to the podcast buddies. I want to throw it back to Breaker and Bane. Brian Breaker and Bane, what more can I say? Those guys are great and they have a great show. It's one of my weekly listens. I love listening to them. They're awesome. They really are. Bane does the outro. Breaker is just a great friend. I can't say enough good things about those two guys.
And let's hear it for Breaker pulling a good brother Mike last night and texting us about the Rock exclusive.
Oh, I know.
Or the Rock chase. He's like, hey guys, do you need the Rock chase? Like out of nowhere, like a total RKO, he pulled a good brother Mike on us. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, dude. So yeah, Breaker being a good brother out there toy hunting for us as well.
I also want to throw it to Eric and Barry over at Doing the Favor. They had three shows this week. It was Toys and Merch. They had their wrestling rundown and they had a All Out preview where Eric had some interesting points. And I recommend going over there and listening to it. I think he brought a lot of good info to the table regarding a lot of things that you see on Twitter. And Eric has a lot of interesting ways to put things in perspective when you listen to him. So I got to mention Steve over at the PPW podcast. Him and Eric have the show this past, or they had a show this past week where they discussed wrestling magazines and they talked about WOW. Remember WOW, Scott?
Yes, I do.
They talk about Pro Wrestling Illustrated. They talked about the WWF magazine. They talked about the WCW magazine of the 90s. But one of the funny things was at the very end of the show, they were joking around about how they want to go get old figures of the past and then bring them to the future so they could be millionaires. You know, they could sell off LJNs and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know about millionaires, but definitely 100,000-aires.
Yes. But the funny thing was, is Steve made a joke. He goes, you know, we would go back and get the figures and pop them open and go, oh crap, we were supposed to leave these sealed and then have to go back and purchase more.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You get into your old habits, cracking everything open.
Right. So they had a great one about wrestling magazines. I think that was recommended to him by Rad Chad too, because Rad Chad's collecting the old WWF magazines. Marty and Sarah, every week, they welcome in their buddies. What I love about that show is all improv, and I'm happy to see them this past week.
Very, very nice, genuine people.
Really are. I mean, Sarah's just a joy to be around, and Marty is hilarious. We had him on our show. One of my favorite interviews we've ever done on this show, hands down.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just two super sweet people. Love them both.
Jeff Palmacchio and Not Your Mama's Soap Opera podcast and The Cassatt Show. So give all of our podcast buddies a listen. Scott, who do you got on roll call?
This week, Jeff, of course, first up, the great Jason Wolf. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. If you need any type of artwork, he is your guy. In fact, Jeff, you and I are in need of some artwork. And I'm going to be reaching out to Mr. Jason Wolf himself this weekend to discuss said needed artwork. Stay tuned for future upcoming shirts. Could it be Series 3? ? Maybe. But if you need artwork, Jason Wolf is your guy. Go give him a follow on Twitter again at JasonWLF. He does great artwork. He's very responsive when you reach out to him. And he's a hell of a guy. Definitely go give him a follow. If you need enamel pins, at Pollyanna DIY is your guy. Awesome person. He's got a great selection of enamel pins. Give him a follow on Twitter at Pollyanna. That's with two N's. DIY. If you want to read a great wrestling figure column, give our buddy CJ and your buddy CJ a follow on Twitter at your buddy CJ. And Jeff, this week I'm going to throw it out to the custom figure people, the great figure customizers that you can find on Twitter. First up, at Scribble24. That's at SKRIBBEL24. Next up, the great at Asui88. That's at ASSUI88. And last but certainly not least, at Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Customs, that's with a K, 2018. Go check out the great work that they do. Asui88 is just absolutely killing it. She does Legos, She does Mattel style figures. Her Joey Ryan and Walter figures are just second to none. Amazing customizer. But go give those three a follow on Twitter. And Jeff, that rounds out Roll Call.
And Scott, that was a better show than 188. I can already tell you.
Well, I didn't think 188 was a bad episode at all. Just technical difficulties made it so.
Correct. Actually, that's a good point. The show itself wasn't bad at all. It was the technical difficulties that followed the show being dropped. I learned my lesson. Never, ever do that again where you don't listen to the show beforehand. I botched that one.
Well, you know, the good things in doing 188 episodes, Jeff, is you build a little bit of street cred. We've never missed a week. The audio, for the most part, is always very solid. We don't talk over each other. I think we put out decent content. We interact with the listeners a lot.
Yep.
So one bad episode, quality-wise, out of 189 now, I think we can get a mulligan on that one. I think our listeners are kind and gentle enough to give us a pass.
You know what's funny, dude, as I was thinking about it, is we're on our way to 4 years. Like, our four-year anniversary is coming up. But before that is episode 200. And I look more forward to the episode numbers than I do to the yearly anniversary.
Right. No, I do too. I absolutely do too. It's not about years anymore. It's episode count for sure.
Yeah, so like, I'm thinking about episode 200 and what we're going to do for it, what's going to make it special. But in January, we're going to have our four-year anniversary, and that's going to be cool, but I'm more looking forward to episode 200. It's just that milestone. It's that feel, like 200 episodes, not 1 week missed. It's just a special feeling, and I'm looking forward to that. The 4 years will be like, oh, cool, you know, we've been around for 4 years. That's cool. But it's that episode number that just hits you, just kind of resonates with you.
I kind of take it from the perspective as being a child again. Like, episode 200 is going to be like Christmas. You're like super excited for it. It's super awesome. Whereas like the 4 year anniversary is going to be more like Easter, where you're like, okay, that's cool. But episode 200 is like Christmas, like super excited about that episode count.
Yeah, we got to start putting our brainicles together and start coming up with ideas for that show.
And I do have some ideas. I will run by you.
Oh, really? All right.
I do. Look at me thinking ahead.
Yeah, email me. I'm interested.
Yeah. I'll have my people contact your people. Talk about it through them.
Oh, Scott, that rounds out a wonderful episode of 189, which is better than 188. Anything else?
Fig Life since 2016, and happy toy hunting.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Episode 189. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.